Of course he did. Well, I believe he did. Anyway. But tonight, of course, it's up to you as to whether you join me in that belief. Now, living as we do in a so-called Christian country, you might find it hard to believe that anyone would even dare to ask the question. But we find that the names of God and of Jesus Christ are used by many in a blasphemous way on a daily basis. Can I ask you, if ever you hear the term, "Oh my God," kindly speak to them and say, "That's not my God you're talking about." Because it usually isn't. For they have no conception whatsoever about who and what God is. And that's for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he's just somebody perhaps that was born in a stable and supposedly died on a cross, and at worst, some mythical figure not even worth considering. And that's about it, isn't it? And if one just stands still for a moment or two and considers the lives of those on this island, then you would have to conclude that the majority of the 60 million or so people living here do not believe in a God, and therefore a belief that Jesus really existed is out of the question. Of course, there's at least one day in the year when that seems to change. The belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is given way to a day of drunken, riotous living. Isn't it? So from this you will surely must follow that most have no purpose in life, no belief in an all-wise God, and no hope of a future based on the precepts and principles taught by Jesus Christ as recorded in the Bible. But I suppose if you did ask the question, then maybe the answer will come back something like this. Well, I'm working hard to provide for myself and my family a better life, with better education for my children, a much improved standard of living, bigger and better houses to dwell in, and a social life that is both friendly and full of happiness. And if I can achieve these goals, then I shall be the more than satisfied and look forward to a full and healthy life of retirement. Men and women are oblivious to the constraints of sin and death, which at the last will take hold of them, and their whole lives will have been a total waste. But for now, that maxim, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die," nothing in their case could be nearer the truth. But what about this man called Jesus? And did he really live? And if he did, what's so special about him? What makes him different from any other man? Well, will you come with me to that chapter that our presiding brother read by way of introduction, the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 4. And I just want to take you to one verse for the moment. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, I want you to think about that. No other name ever given among men who could save. Every living being who has ever existed on this planet could not offer you or anyone else a hope of life. Isn't that extraordinary? Whether great or small, there is no other name other than Jesus Christ who can offer you a life. A life of eternity. In a world of peace. I find that quite remarkable. Just one name, Jesus Christ, in all the world. So, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, then you have no hope whatsoever of living. That's a statement. That's sure. And that's the truth. No way round it. It's there for all to see. Now, the fact of the matter is, of course, that not many want to be saved. Do they? Seriously? If they did, despite the present speaker, this room would be full to capacity. If those in Halifax, just in Halifax, wanted to be saved. So obviously, they don't. Now that's simplistic, isn't it? But of course, it's the truth. So, I think there is good reason why I want you to believe that Jesus Christ existed. Because if he did not live, then the whole of humanity in all ages has been for nothing. I am completely wasting my time tonight if Jesus Christ did not exist. And so are you, for being here to listen to me. Such a waste, isn't it? And just think, I've only come about 130 miles to tell you that Jesus Christ did exist. What a waste of time. I could be at home, my brother, with my feet up. Couldn't I? Seriously. So it would be a waste of my time coming if Jesus Christ did not exist. Now, many years ago, a gentleman by the name of Harold Smith, I don't know whether you know Brother Harold Smith or even whether you've ever heard of him, it doesn't really matter. But he set me on a trend of buying second-hand theological books. It was a very wise and good move that he made, for he introduced me to some marvellous little gems from all over this country. And one of those little gems is a book called The Bridge of History Over the Gulf of Time. And it was written by a gentleman called Thomas Cooper. It was written towards the end of the 18th century, as all good books were, regarding theology. Oh yes. And in it, this man, by the way, not a Christadelphian, proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, well he does to me, I'm not biased of course, that Jesus Christ actually existed. And he goes back over the centuries to the time when those who were alive and knew Jesus Christ actually wrote it down. I'm going to ask you to listen to a small passage from this book. I selected it, of course, especially for this address this evening. But see what you think about this man. Tacitus plainly tells us that in the year 63, the very year it is believed in which Peter and Paul were martyred at Rome, Nero set Rome on fire and laid the blame on the Christians, crucified some of them, exposed others to be torn in pieces by dogs after they had been sewn up in skins of wild beasts, and put others to death by having fire set to them after they had been covered with pitch or sewn up in pitched shirts. Tacitus, as one might expect from a heathen philosopher, calls Christianity just a superstition, but affirms that it was derived from Christ, who was put to death in Judea under Pontius Pilate. Is not this something like collaborative evidence from an enemy of the truth of the early Christian history? Isn't that remarkable? He was against Christianity, but he had to admit that there had been one called Christ. Just bear with me. The satirist Juvenal, who lived under Nero, alludes to the burnings of the Christians in their pitched shirt, and so does his brother. A certain Suetonius, writing of what took place under the Emperor Claudius in 53, is also understood to make mention of Christ. Nor let it be forgotten that the Emperor Julian, who professedly wrote against Christianity, never for a moment called in question the existence of Christ or the fact that he had wrought miracles. And Celsus, who was the contemporary of Irenaeus, Tertullian, and Clement of Alexandria, in his work against Christianity, which was answered by Origen, proves for us that the Gospels were then in existence, for he quotes them over and over again and shows that Christians valued them highly. Isn't that remarkable? Nothing to do with me. But it suits my address. Do you know why it does? Because all these men that Thomas Cooper quotes were against Christianity, and yet they had to admit that a man called Jesus Christ existed. That's lovely, isn't it? Suits me down to the ground. But where do we go from there? That's the thing. Now, if these men suggest and knew that a man called Christ existed, do we not have to believe that if they said the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were in existence during their lifetime, and that these Gospel writers, so named, actually wrote about this man called Jesus Christ? Well, where else are you going to go? What other form are you going to take? What other book are you going to read about this man, Jesus Christ, and why he's so important to my salvation and yours? Well, we're going to go to those men who saw and met and knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Did not this man exist? Did he not rise from the dead? Did all these men and women die in vain? Would you be sewn up in a shirt and dipped in pitch and set on fire in Nero's arenas if you did not believe in Jesus Christ? Not me. If I did not believe in him, I would be as far away from Nero's circus as I could possibly go. Wouldn't you? Come on, tell me the truth. You would. But if you believed in Jesus Christ, you would die for him. Wouldn't you? And they did. If you have nothing else to do in your spare time, can I recommend a book called God's Outlaw? Oh, it's wonderful. It tells you the life and works of a man called William Tyndale, burnt at Vivordi in the Low Countries, having had his neck wrung and then tied to a cross and burnt at the stake. And he died that way because he translated the Word of God into a book that you can read tonight in your own language, albeit Yorkshire accent, my brother. But it's true, isn't it? I want you to think about that. If he had not translated the scriptures into English, you would not be here tonight. What a man. God guided? Absolutely. Next year, God willing, if we're still here, we have a full year. Because it's 400 years since the scriptures were written in English. King James Version, that is. So what a privilege we have tonight to be able to read this book. I'm just going to pick out one or two things for you out of this fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles to prove, I think, that Jesus Christ really existed without going into great lengths regarding his life and his death. So, would you come with me, if you're not there already, to this fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles? You will need to read in your leisure, by the way, chapter 3 to get it into context. Because this is, chapter 4 is about chapter 3, but we haven't the time. So we're going to go right into chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, this is Peter and John. I want you to remember who they are. As they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Right, let's just start there, shall we? The rulers of the people, those wonderful men, were grieved that these two men taught that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And they wanted to stop them. And they did. What did they do? Verse 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. I want you to notice some little special things here that are due, really, to mankind and their little foibles. Right? It was eventide. Well, it couldn't go on any further. The union was going to stop them working. Oh, yes. It was past the hour of work. What do we do? We'll put them in prison, we'll have a good night's sleep, and tomorrow we'll bring them out and charge them. Oh yes. What's changed? Absolutely nothing. That's what's changed. I'm going to ask you a question. This man who was the problem with these people, this man who'd been a cripple, do you think that he went to prison with them? Well, I've never thought about that. Well, I'm going to ask you to think about it. Did he go to prison with them? And the answer is, yes. Why shouldn't he? He'd believed on the name of Jesus Christ. He'd been cured. And so why shouldn't he, together with John and Peter, go into prison? Verse 14, just to put you in the picture. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them. Standing with them? What was he doing there? Well, he'd been in prison all night. And he was now standing with Peter and John. And they were being accused of preaching about Jesus Christ. Oh, he'd been in prison all right. The first day after he'd been converted, he was put in prison. If I'd have been him, I would have been far away, wouldn't you? Having been cured, you're now going to be put in prison for your belief the very first night after? It's lovely, isn't it? No wonder the Gospels have stood the test of time. Well, let's go on, shall we? Verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. All the family was here. Oh yes, all of them. And let me tell you something else. This family wasn't very straight. Oh no, they weren't. But they were all there. Why? Well, to help those in charge to put these three men in prison for preaching Jesus. So why not get the family together, convince them, and then that will be enough. There's, I was going to say justice in numbers. You know what I mean, don't you? And so they were gathered here. Verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And there was no way out, was there? Oh no. What a man this Peter was. He wasn't going to be overridden by some high priest's family on a whim that they could put them back in prison and stop them preaching Jesus Christ. Oh no. Verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Isn't that lovely? What a defense. And it had its mark. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marvelled. Oh, of course they would. Don't you think it's absolutely wonderful that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was preached by a band of nobodies? Isn't it? You see, if you and I were doing it, we would find the cleverest professors in the land to preach our gospel like what they are doing this week and next week, getting those on board to assist them in getting to Parliament. Nothing's changed. Nothing. But God doesn't work like that. God has got these fishermen, these tax collectors, these poor dropouts of society, so-called, and given them the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that they might preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is, isn't it? Ignorant and unlearned men. Did they triumph? Absolutely. And just look at the end of the verse. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, would you believe it? They had been with Jesus. So they looked at these two men and realized, although they were unlearned and ignorant men, they noticed that they had been with Jesus. I wonder how that came about. Isn't that strange? Well, it would be for them, wouldn't it? Not for you and I. But look at verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Oh, well, of course they couldn't. Could they? These men, in verse 1, had passed this man for 40 years. They passed him by on their way into the temple. How many times during the day had they gone backwards and forwards over 40 years? They knew this man personally. He was the beggar who begged at the gate of the temple. And he was a cripple, he couldn't walk. But now, he was standing with Peter and with John. Why? Because the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit had cured this man. And they knew. The difficulty with these is like everybody else. They didn't want to admit it. And that's the problem. Nobody wants to admit it. And have you noticed today, it's always somebody else's fault. We need to blame someone else. I'm going to blame Jesus Christ. Oh yes, I am. Because he's the one who has given me life. And he's the one who cured this lame man. And he's the one who set him up in the midst. And he's the one who's going to bring life to every human being who wants it and who is capable of following him. Oh yeah. Almost finished. Verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Oh, isn't this typical of human nature? Well, we'll send those who were accused out for a moment. We'll gather ourselves together in a little circle and we'll discuss it. Then we'll go out and tell them what we've decided. Oh yeah. It's about right, isn't it? Oh yeah, we'll tell them what we've decided. And so they did. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell at Jerusalem. Look at this. And we cannot deny it. They couldn't deny it. So why did they? It's a strange thing, isn't it, human nature? Because they didn't want to believe in Jesus Christ. That's why. They did not want to believe in Jesus Christ. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now that's what I call a cheek. Isn't it? We know we can't deny it, but we want you to go away and we don't want you to speak about this man Jesus Christ. And certainly we do not want you to tell people that he's been raised from the dead after we've put him to death. Can't do that. Just quietly go away. Well, of course they were going to go quietly away, weren't they? You see, these men were about to turn the world upside down. Oh, and they did, didn't they? Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things, notice this, which we have seen and heard. That's it, seeing and hearing. In a court of law, that's everything. Isn't it? Oh yes, it is. Seeing and believing. I'm going to tell you that seeing is believing. Other than sometimes, people see things that they don't want to believe. And they say, we haven't seen it. Or heard it. Oh yeah. Strange, isn't it? Strange. You see, you believe what you want to believe. Don't you? Oh yes. You believe what you want to believe. Now, I could bring to you this evening many more facts, but I'm not going to, because it's almost 6:45. 30 minutes, he said. But it's true, isn't it? You see, it might bring a smile to your face, but it's true. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And if you read on through the chapter, you'll find out what they'd seen and what they'd heard. They had lived with Jesus. They had been with him. They had seen him do all these marvellous miracles. They had seen him condemned and nailed to a tree. They had seen him raised from the dead. And they had been with him 40 days, as we've seen this morning. They'd seen all that. And they believed, and it was now up to them to go out and preach the gospel. Now, you don't have to believe in Jesus Christ. But you're going to die. It's as simple as that. Sorry. It's the end. Whereas if you believe in him, you can live. Now, you might not like the idea that Jesus existed. You might not want to believe that he did, but let me tell you something. You cannot get rid of Jesus Christ. However you try, you cannot get rid of Jesus Christ. You try. He is here to stay. He is a fact of history. And he's going to come back to this earth in the very near future. I want to finish with another quotation, and I'm going to ask you a question in a minute. One last quotation, which I've got written down in the front of my Bible. It goes like this. This is for the historians. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne and I have founded great empires. But upon what did these creations of our genius depend? Upon force. Jesus alone founded his empire upon love, and to this very day millions would die for him. I think I understand something of human nature, and I tell you that all these were men, and I am a man. None else is like him. Jesus Christ was more than a man. Here's the question. Who do you think wrote that? No? Right. He was a little Frenchman, really, by the name of Napoleon Bonaparte. How about that? Can you believe that? The little Frenchman said that Jesus Christ was more than a man. I wish I had the time to go into it in more detail, but I haven't. So, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he existed? Well, let me tell you this. You'd better believe it. Why? Because your life depends upon it.